Welcome to our deep dive, and this time we're going to be talking about turbulence.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, this is a topic that a lot of listeners have asked us to cover,
Right.
and we're going to be looking at it through the lens of this book, Turbulence: The Legacy of A.N. Kolmogorov by Uriel Frisch. And I'll tell you, it's a dense one.
It is.
And I think it's safe to say that turbulence has really puzzled some of the best minds, you
Yeah.
know, going all the way back to Leonardo da Vinci.
Absolutely.
And even today, it's still considered like one of the biggest unsolved mysteries in physics.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting about turbulence is it's everywhere. We
Right.
experience it all the time, but it's still so difficult to predict.
Yeah.
And Frisch's book really digs into why that is
Yeah.
by focusing on this guy, A.N. Kolmogorov, and his work.
Okay, so let's just like start off simple here.
Yeah.
Imagine you've got a smooth stream of water and it's hitting a cylinder.
Okay.
You know, something we've all seen probably a million times. What happens is that as the water speeds up, you start to see those swirls and eddies forming,
Yeah.
and the flow goes from this like, you know, pristine, symmetrical state to something really chaotic
Right. Yeah.
and unpredictable. And that's turbulence in action.
Yeah, and the book uses a bunch of these really cool images, starting with figure 1.1,
Okay.
to show exactly how this smooth flow breaks down.
Yeah.
And as the flow speeds up, you can see these initial swirls, they grow. Then they break down into these smaller eddies, and then boom, you've got full-blown turbulence.
Wow, so it's like this visual demonstration of spontaneous symmetry breaking. It's like
Nice.
the water just breaks free from all those initial constraints
Right.
and just expresses itself in all these like wild and unpredictable
Yeah,
ways.
Frisch uses this great example of Kármán vortex streets.
Okay.
And these are these alternating vortices that form behind an obstacle.
Okay.
So, like if you think of a flag flapping in the wind,
Okay.
that alternating pattern you see,
Yeah.
that's a classic example of these Kármán vortex streets.
Of
And it's
course.
this really clear visual of how the flow develops a kind of distinct personality.
That's so cool. And here's where it gets really interesting, though. At super high speeds,
Okay.
like way higher than you would see with your flag in the wind,
Yeah.
a fascinating thing happens. Those symmetries that were broken, they start to reappear, but in a statistical sense.
Right.
So it's like the turbulence is still chaotic at small scales,
Yeah.
but it like exhibits an overall order at like a much larger scale.
Right. And this whole idea of the apparent randomness of turbulent signals, it really brings up a crucial point.
Okay.
You would think that since, the laws of physics are deterministic,
Yeah.
we could predict these flows perfectly.
Right.
But turbulence throws us a curveball.
Okay.
Even though the governing equations are deterministic,
Yeah.
the behavior we see is just incredibly complex and unpredictable.
Okay, so then how do we even begin to understand something that seems so random and chaotic?
Well, that's where this concept of deterministic chaos comes in. Frisch uses this simple model to explain it, called the tent map.
Okay.
Just imagine like a simple line graph that goes up and down like a tent.
Okay.
And even with this like really simple model,
Yeah.
we start to see unpredictable behavior emerging from this deterministic system.
Really? So even with a simple model, we still run into this unpredictability.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
it is. And it really highlights why we need to use a probabilistic approach to understand turbulence.
Okay.
We can't predict the exact state of the flow at every single point in time,
Right.
but we can talk about the probabilities of certain behaviors occurring.
Okay.
And that's where something called the ergodic theorem comes in.
Okay.
And it helps us understand the long-term behavior of these really chaotic systems.
So this is where the work of A.N. Kolmogorov comes in, right?
Yes,
His
sir.
1941 theory. You know, it's considered a cornerstone of turbulence research.
Yeah.
And Frisch really dives deep into it in this book.
Absolutely. Kolmogorov's theory really revolutionized how we think about turbulence. And he proposed these three core hypotheses.
Okay.
And the first one is that at extremely high speeds, the symmetries that were broken by the turbulence,
Yeah.
they actually get restored.
Okay.
But in a statistical sense, at smaller scales.
So it's like that reappearance of order that we talked about earlier, but
Yeah.
just at a much, much smaller level.
Exactly.
Almost like if you're zooming in on the turbulence and finding a pattern.
Yeah. And then his second hypothesis gets a little bit more technical.
Okay.
But basically, he's saying that at these super high speeds, the small scale properties of turbulence are determined by just three things:
Okay.
the length scale,
Okay.
the mean energy dissipation rate, which is denoted by this Greek letter epsilon,
Okay.
and the viscosity of the fluid.
Okay. So the length scale, how fast the energy is dissipating, and then like the fluid's stickiness.
Exactly.
Got it. And what about the third hypothesis?
Okay. So his third hypothesis builds upon the second one,
Okay.
and it suggests that even at high speeds, but not infinitely high, the viscosity becomes less important.
Okay.
So the small scale properties are really mainly governed by the length scale and the energy dissipation rate.
So that viscosity, the stickiness of the fluid, doesn't really play as big of a role.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and these three hypotheses might seem a little abstract.
Yeah.
But they led to the development of these key experimental laws that actually confirmed Kolmogorov's theory in a really practical sense.
So this wasn't just some theoretical idea. These had real-world implications.
Exactly.
Okay, so what did his theory predict and how did they confirm it?
Okay, so one of the key predictions is what's called the two-thirds law.
Okay.
And this law states that the average squared velocity difference between two points in a turbulent flow scales as the two-thirds power of the distance between those points.
Wow.
It's a mouthful. But essentially, it tells us how the velocity fluctuations are changing as you move further apart within the turbulent flow.
Okay, so the further apart the points are that you measure,
yeah,
the greater the difference in velocity. And that follows this specific mathematical pattern.
Exactly. And this law was actually confirmed through experiments, which is pretty amazing considering how complex turbulence is.
It's like finding order within the chaos.
Yeah.
So what other laws came out of Kolmogorov's theory?
Another important one is the energy dissipation law.
Okay.
And this law says that no matter how smooth the fluid is,
yeah,
there's always going to be some energy dissipation happening because of the turbulence.
Okay.
And this dissipation rate, that epsilon we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
that remains finite even as the viscosity of the fluid approaches zero.
Okay. So even in a perfect world with a perfectly smooth fluid turbulence, still manages to, like, steal some energy away.
Exactly. It's like a fundamental truth about turbulence.
It's a pretty profound statement about, like, the nature of these flows.
Absolutely. Then finally, there's this famous negative five-thirds law.
Okay.
And this one relates to the energy spectrum of turbulence.
Okay.
And it basically predicts that the energy contained within different scales of the turbulent flow follows a specific power law distribution with this characteristic exponent of negative five-thirds.
Okay, so this one tells us, like, how the energy is distributed across those different sized eddies and swirls within the turbulence.
Exactly.
And this was also confirmed experimentally.
Yeah, and over a surprisingly wide range of scales.
Wow.
It's really a testament to the power of Kolmogorov's theory and its ability to capture, like, these essential features of turbulent flows.
These laws are a testament to how brilliant Kolmogorov was.
Absolutely.
But you know, we've hinted that there are some limitations to his theory.
Right.
And before we move on to those limitations, let's talk about one more really crucial law that comes out of his work.
Okay.
And that's the four-fifths law.
Yeah, this one is really fascinating because it's considered an exact result in fully developed turbulence.
Oh, wow.
And it's derived directly from the Navier-Stokes equations.
Okay.
Which are like the fundamental equations of fluid motion.
Okay.
With very few assumptions.
So it's not just like a prediction. It's like a fundamental truth about turbulence.
Exactly.
Okay. That's impressive. So what does this four-fifths law tell us?
Okay. So it connects the third order longitudinal structure function, which is a measure of how velocity differences are correlated over a distance to the energy dissipation rate.
Yeah.
I know it's a little technical.
Yeah.
But it gives us a really powerful tool to understand how energy is transferred within a turbulent flow.
Okay, so now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of, like, energy transfer within these chaotic systems.
Right.
And this is where that concept of the energy cascade comes into play.
Got it.
Right.
So you can imagine a waterfall cascading down, you know, with the water flowing from higher to lower levels.
Okay.
The energy cascade in turbulence is kind of similar.
Okay.
It describes how energy flows from these larger eddies and swirls to progressively smaller ones.
Okay.
Until it's finally dissipated at the smallest scales. By viscosity.
Okay, so it's like a chain reaction of energy transfer.
Yeah.
With these larger structures breaking down into smaller and smaller ones. And eventually dissipating as heat because of friction.
That's a great way to visualize it. And the four-fifths law actually helps us quantify this energy cascade.
Okay.
And understand how the energy is distributed across all these different scales.
This is mind-blowing stuff. We've gone from seemingly random swirls to these complex mathematical laws that govern, like, the essence of turbulence.
Right.
But as we hinted, Kolmogorov's theory, while it was groundbreaking, wasn't the end of the story.
Right.
There are some limitations.
Yeah.
And one of the most significant is this phenomenon of intermittency.
Yeah, intermittency really challenges one of the fundamental assumptions in Kolmogorov's theory.
Okay.
And that's the assumption of universality.
Okay.
It suggests that turbulence might be a lot more complex and context dependent than we initially thought.
Okay. Well, before we dive into that, let's wrap up part one here.
Sounds good.
And when we come back, we'll go deeper into intermittency and what it means for our understanding of turbulence. We'll also explore some of the modern trends in research and the incredible tools that scientists are using to really unlock the secrets of this fascinating phenomenon.
Yeah.
So stay with us.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of turbulence. And, you know, before the break, we were talking about how energy cascades down from larger swirls to smaller ones in a turbulent flow. But now we're going to get to the really cool part.
Yeah.
Intermittency. It sounds like this concept really, like, throws a wrench into some of the assumptions in Kolmogorov's theory.
Yeah, that's right. Kolmogorov's theory, as elegant as it is, it relies on this idea that turbulence is statistically similar everywhere in the flow.
Okay.
Meaning that the statistical properties are the same no matter where you look.
Okay.
And this is known as the assumption of universality.
Right.
But intermittency tells us that's not always the case.
So instead of a nice uniform flow, we've got these like unpredictable bursts of activity popping up here and there.
Exactly. Imagine you're looking at a seemingly calm river.
Okay.
For the most part, the water flows pretty smoothly.
But then all of a sudden you get these bursts of intense churning and swirling in certain spots.
Okay.
That's kind of what intermittency is like in turbulence.
Okay.
These bursts, they're not uniformly distributed.
Right.
They kind of cluster in certain areas, and they make the energy dissipation highly uneven.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this could complicate things. Mm. So if these bursts are unpredictable, doesn't that make it even harder to, like, model and predict turbulent flows?
It definitely does. It means we can't just rely on those average quantities that Kolmogorov's theory often uses.
Okay.
We have to find ways to account for these localized fluctuations, these bursts of intense energy.
It's like trying to predict the weather, but instead of just looking at average temperatures, you also have to account for those sudden gusts of wind or like unexpected downpours.
Yeah.
You never know exactly when or where they'll happen.
That's a great analogy. And just like with weather forecasting, understanding intermittency is super important for a lot of real world applications.
Okay.
Think about designing airplanes. Yeah. Engineers need to understand how turbulence might affect the plane's stability during flight.
Of course. So how do researchers even begin to tackle this problem of intermittency?
Mm.
Is it a case of just throwing out Kolmogorov's theory altogether? Mm. Or are there ways to adapt it?
Well, that's where this idea of multifactality comes in.
Okay.
It's a mathematical framework that tries to capture this complex intermittent nature of turbulence.
Okay.
So instead of assuming everything is statistically uniform.
Right.
It describes turbulence as this collection of fractals.
Okay.
Each with its own scaling properties.
Hold on. Fractals. I remember those like trippy self-repeating patterns from math class.
Yeah.
But how they apply to something as dynamic as turbulence.
Okay. So think of a coastline.
Okay.
If you look at it from a distance, you get a general idea of its shape.
Right.
But as you zoom in, you start to see all these intricate bays and inlets and peninsulas.
Yeah.
And if you zoom in even further,
yeah,
you see even finer details. And the really cool thing is that each level of detail kind of has a similar pattern,
okay,
just at a different scale.
Okay.
And that's the essence of a fractal self-similarity across different scales.
Okay. I'm starting to see the connection. So instead of turbulence being one smooth cascade.
Yeah.
It's more like this intricate web of different sized eddies and swirls.
Exactly.
Each behaving according to its own fractal pattern.
Right. And multifractal models suggest that turbulence isn't just one fractal.
Okay.
It's a collection of them.
Okay.
And each one represents different levels of intensity or energy dissipation.
Okay.
And this helps us account for those bursts of activity and the non-uniformity we see in real world turbulence.
So it's like saying that each turbulent flow has its own unique fingerprint based on this multifractal structure.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
That makes things a lot more complex, though, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And multifractality is still a really active area of research. But it offers a really powerful tool for moving beyond those limitations of traditional turbulence models.
Okay.
And capturing the true complexity of this phenomenon.
Before we move on, I'm curious about something. We've talked about these amazing visual representations in the book,
yeah,
like the pictures of those vortex streets.
Right.
Are there other ways that scientists visualize turbulence and these complex structures?
Absolutely. The book focuses a lot on Kolmogorov's theoretical work and the experimental validation of his ideas.
Right.
But modern turbulence research goes way beyond that.
Okay.
With advancements in computing and imaging technologies, scientists can now create these incredibly detailed simulations and visualizations of turbulent flows.
So they can actually see those swirling eddies and those vortex filaments in action, even at the tiniest scale.
Yes. And they can study how those structures interact and evolve over time.
Wow.
It's like having a microscope for turbulence.
That's cool.
And these visualizations have revealed all sorts of fascinating insights. They've confirmed some of Kolmogorov's ideas.
Yeah.
But they've also highlighted just how incredibly complex and beautiful these flows really are.
I can only imagine what those visualizations must look like. It sounds like turbulence research has come a long way since Kolmogorov's time.
Yeah, it really has.
So what other modern trends are shaping the field?
Well, one really exciting area is the study of coherent structures.
Okay.
And these are organized patterns of motion within the turbulent flow.
Okay.
Like those swirling vortex filaments that we mentioned earlier.
Right.
And while turbulence might seem random, these coherent structures show that there's actually a surprising amount of order within the chaos.
So it's like finding those hidden patterns within a seemingly random mess. It makes me think of those beautiful mandalas where you have these intricate repeating patterns that form a larger harmonious whole.
I love that analogy. And just like mandalas, these coherent structures play a crucial role in the overall dynamics of turbulence.
Okay.
And researchers are using all these sophisticated mathematical tools like wavelet analysis and proper orthogonal decomposition to identify and study these structures.
Wow.
And it's helping us understand how energy is transferred and dissipated within turbulent flows, which has implications for everything from weather prediction to astrophysics.
Astrophysics. So these principles of turbulence apply to things far beyond just our everyday experiences.
Absolutely. Think about the swirling gas clouds that form stars, or the turbulent flow of plasma within a star's core, or even the movement of gas and dust in galaxies.
Wow.
Turbulence plays a role in all of these phenomena, and the same fundamental principles that we've been talking about, they all apply.
That really puts things into perspective. It sounds like turbulence is this fundamental part of the universe.
It really is.
Weaving its way through everything from the smallest eddies in a stream to the grandest cosmic events.
And what's really exciting is that we're only just beginning to scratch the surface of understanding this complex and beautiful phenomenon.
Yeah.
With new tools and techniques being developed all the time, the future of turbulence research is incredibly promising.
Well, on that note, let's take a moment to reflect on everything we've learned so far.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll wrap up our deep dive with some final thoughts on the legacy of Kolmogorov's work and the enduring mysteries of turbulence.
Sounds good.
So stay with us. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been on this incredible journey exploring the world of turbulence, and it's amazing how something so common is still so mysterious.
It really is. I mean, we've seen how it breaks down those perfect symmetries in nature, but then restores them in a statistical way at smaller scales.
Right. And who would have thought that deterministic equations could lead to such unpredictable behavior?
Deterministic chaos, right? It's mind-boggling.
It really is. And then there's intermittency, those bursts of activity that just seem to defy the idea of a smooth, turbulent flow.
It throws a wrench into things, for sure.
But, you know, before we wrap up, I want to talk a little more about A.N. Kolmogorov and his 1941 theory.
Yeah.
His work has really left a huge mark on the field.
Absolutely. It was groundbreaking. It gave us a whole new way to think about turbulence, and a lot of his ideas are still relevant today.
I mean, think about those core concepts. The restoration of symmetries, the dependence on length scale, and energy dissipation.
Right, and then those experimental laws that came out of it.
The two-thirds law, the energy dissipation law, that famous negus 53 law for the energy spectrum.
Amazing how his predictions were confirmed by experiments across so many different types of turbulent flows.
Wait, like his theory cracked the code, at least to some extent.
It did. But of course, no theory is perfect. We've seen how intermittency challenged some of his assumptions, like the idea that turbulence is the same everywhere.
Universality. Yeah.
But even with those limitations, Kolmogorov's work has been the foundation for so much research and discovery.
It's like he gave us this roadmap to explore turbulence. And even though we've had to take a few detours along the way, we're still following his lead.
A roadmap that has led to some pretty amazing discoveries, like those coherent structures we were talking about.
Right, those organized patterns within the chaos. I'm curious, though, what are some of the practical implications of understanding those structures?
Well, think about it. Let's say you're designing a new airplane. If you understand how those swirling vortices form and interact around the wings, you could potentially design a more fuel-efficient aircraft.
So it's not just about theoretical knowledge, it could actually lead to tangible benefits in the real world.
Exactly. And the applications are endless, really. Understanding how turbulence affects blood flow could help us treat cardiovascular diseases better. Modeling turbulence in the atmosphere could improve weather forecasting and help us predict extreme weather events more accurately.
It's mind-blowing how something so seemingly abstract can have such a huge impact on our lives.
And it really shows how interconnected science is. A fundamental discovery in one area can have ripple effects across so many different fields.
It's all connected. Well, I think it's time to wrap up this incredible deep dive.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride through the world of turbulence.
Ooh. So to our listener, the next time you see those swirls of smoke rising from a campfire, or the waves crashing on a beach, or even feel the wind in your hair, take a moment to appreciate the amazing complexity of those turbulent flows.
And remember, within those seemingly random motions, there are secrets waiting to be discovered. And who knows, maybe someday, with all the new tools and research, we'll finally unlock the full potential of turbulence.
It's a future I'm definitely looking forward to. And until then, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the fascinating world around us. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.